Hey there, coffee lovers. Do you want to make your morning cup of Joe something special? Let's talk about Joe Bean Coffee, a gem right here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador. I've been a longtime fan of Joe Bean. Kathy, Dina, and the whole team are passionate about their coffee and this city, and it comes through in every cup of Joe Bean Coffee that I brew at home. Joe Bean has been a part of Rochester for years, over a decade, building lasting community and a sense of belonging for everyone who loves coffee. Next time you need beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. Even better, subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and you'll receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule and never be without your favorite coffee. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care.
Y'all, the Oscar nominations are out, and we have a bunch of things that we want to cover in today's episode of Representation in Cinema. I'm your host, Jack McGriff, and if this is your first time listening or watching, welcome. We talk about the films that center Black, Brown, and Indigenous voices, as well as the film industry itself. I'm not only your host for Representation in Cinema, but I'm also the founder, director, and co-producer of Our Voices Project, a production company committed to sharing the stories and lived experiences of Black, Brown, and Indigenous peoples through visual storytelling and truth-telling. We're community-engaged filmmakers who firmly believe that you can't center films on these communities without being in community and in solidarity with them. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and the little bell to get notified about new episodes when they drop. If you're listening on your preferred podcast platform, hit that follow button, rate us 5 stars, and leave a comment to share your thoughts about any of the things that we bring up in this episode or any of our episodes. Today, with the release of Oscar nominations, we're going to talk about the nominations that we're excited about, the snubs, and everything else in between. Joining me to talk about all of this and more is Arnita Hetherington. Arnita is a passionate media professional and an up-and-coming television development executive. You go, girl. She has gained valuable experience working in content-focused and production settings across the U.S. and the U.K. Currently, she is excitingly completing her Master's of Science in Media and Communications at the London School of Economics, where she explores audiences, identity, and how entertainment media shape culture. Arnita is also the creator of Theory of Beneficence, a media analysis platform where she explores film and television through storytelling, character, and audience impact, with a special focus on how Black women are positioned within narratives. Her work encourages meaningful conversations about why certain stories connect with us, how development choices influence perceptions, and what is truly means to feel seen on screen. With her background in newsroom operations, project management, and media production, Arnita is passionate about exploring how audience insights, creative development, and original programming come together. She's excited about building a career focused on how stories are crafted, how audiences engage with them, and the powerful role of thoughtful storytelling in shaping culture. Thank you so much for being here, Arnita.
I am so happy to be here, Jackie. Thank you.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. Okay, let's dive in. So the Oscar nominations just came out yesterday. I've been like just liking every single post that is talking about Sinners, and it's 16 nominations. 16 nominations. Prepare to be sick of me. So everyone, prepare to be sick of me. And it better win at least half. Okay. Maybe not even half. 10. Give me 10. So of course those nominations are for Best Picture. You have Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Delroy Lindo's first Oscar nomination, which is cool.
Come on.
Like, what are we talking about? Best Supporting Actress, Wunmi Mosaku. Listen, I've been a fan of hers since Lovecraft Country.
Yeah.
She's just fantastic.
Stunning actor.
Yes. And I'm so excited for her. Best Casting, Best Cinematography. I believe that is the first, woman of color to get that nomination. Again, the firsts are nuts. Of course, Ruthie Carter, the legend for costume design. We also have Best Film Editing and Best Hair and Makeup, Best Original Score, Best Original Song, Best Production Design, Best Sound and Best Visual Effects. Another round of applause for Sinners getting 16 nominations. What was going through your mind when you first saw that, all the nominations for Sinners?
Honestly, I was just so happy for them. I think another part of that moment was fear, right? I'm really hoping that they kind of sweep this Oscar season. But, you know, there's so many nominations where it's kind of like, okay, what are we going to do with those nominations, right?
Yeah.
Are we actually going to get to the end of the finish line? And so I'm so incredibly happy for them, but I'm really waiting for that moment where they actually take the stage and accept that award.
Yeah.
So happy for them. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I did also have like this, the similar thoughts, because we've seen this before, right? We've seen where, you know, you have either it's a Black director, it's a predominantly Black cast, you know, get all of these accolades, get all these nominations, and then for it to maybe win one or two. And it's usually like in the technical, we saw this, of course, with Black Panther. And, you know, we saw this with Get Out. And these are films that, you know, on the surface, not only have just a good storyline, but there's also a lot going, you know, underneath the surface. And there's things that we, you know, as Black folks are like taking away from these films. And so to see something of that caliber, not only just have the storyline, but also have just a lot of underlying themes and also a lot of history, to be nominated for this many categories is amazing. And it's hopeful, but of course it's kind of like a cautious hope. Is it really going to win so many awards, or y'all only just going to be like, okay, well, here's a few, and, you know, be happy with that, right?
So exactly. So I think that you know, it's just like you said, I know that they're going to, and I guess we're going to go into this a little bit later too, as far as predictions, but those categories where we just know they dominate.
Yes.
But in those, you know, best film, you know, best movie of the year, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous.
Yes, for sure. I said to someone else yesterday, was a movie reviewer, and I just like, girl, I'm nervous. She goes, me too. I'm so sorry. Oh man. Were there any other things that, like, as far as like what had come out as far as either films or of course actors, you know, getting awards that you were really excited to see?
I mean, obviously it's everyone in Sinners for me. Ryan Coogler, you know, wound me, like you said, freaking love her.
Yes.
To pivot a bit though, I mean, let's just start at it. One battle after another.
You're excited about that one?
No. One battle after another is one that I was, you know, I posted about it a couple when it first came out. And I said, you know, I really hope I don't see this film in the Oscar circuit. And unfortunately, here we are. And, you know, we saw what happened to the Golden Globes, and that is honestly when I talk about fear. That's what I'm scared of, where we're going to reward this film. That's just so negative.
Yeah.
And as far as everyone else, you know, I really did love Hamnet. I just saw it recently. Okay. As well.
Yeah.
Loved Hamnet. Really excited for Chloe Zhao, the director of that film. She's incredible. That film is so well executed. But yeah, I think the number one thing, and I think that the villains in this story this year is definitely going to be One Battle After Another and Sinners.
I like how you phrased it. It's the villain, because it really is. And I feel like, I don't know. I mean, social media, just being online in general, is always just, it's a wild time. It's a wild environment out there on these social media streets. But I thought I was going nuts, because I'm just sitting here like, I'm like, okay, let me see what this is all about. Because number one, and I'm talking about, of course, One Battle After Another, I'm like, let me see what all the hype is about. Of course, like, I'm seeing, like, it's talking about revolutionaries. And so the first thing that goes into my head is like, okay, this is not going to actually be a revolutionary movie, because, of course, Hollywood is never going to allow a truly revolutionary movie, right? They don't want folks getting ideas. They don't want, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to really be, like, as far as, like, a politic that is that of like a radical or revolutionary, right? Is not going to be something, right, that, you know, Hollywood endorses, you know? But I feel like going to this movie, I'm like, okay, so this is basically going to be like the white man's imaginations of what it is to be a revolutionary. And so of course it would make sense that like that the way in which the film plays out, I'm just like, yeah, okay, this is not anything like what that looks like, but okay, sure, fine. I had to pause several times watching this film because I'm like, for those of you who may not be aware, there are certain tropes, and of course there are, you know, the tropes that we regularly see that are of Black women, right, in movies and TV. But this specific one, I mean, they're all just horrible. But this, I could not believe that I was actually seeing. Like, I shouldn't be surprised. But to see someone, so that this specific trope, which is the Jezebel character, where, you know, she's using basically like she's being used as a sex object to please white men. Because throughout this film, that's who she is. That is her whole character. Like, yeah, like that's the whole, like that's her whole character. And so I'm like, okay, of course I'm not surprised that it would get awarded, but you always, or nominated at least, but you always hope that it was like somebody somewhere told someone, maybe we shouldn't like give this like the green light. Maybe we shouldn't give this a full endorsement because it's doing a lot more harm than it is good. And so for someone to be awarded, right, like it tugs at my heart a little bit because I'm like, Tiana, she should have won for 1001. She should have won for 1001. That was the film that I had been telling people to see. And of course, folks didn't see it. And plus, it's only, I guess, 2025 where they were enforcing that people who were voting on movies watch every movie. And I'm going, huh? That's something from, right. It was like, that's something that you just started like enforcing? Yeah. Are we serious? And I'm like, y'all should have watched 1001 because she's in that role. Not only is she's a great actress. Like, she's a good actress. And I don't want to take that away from her, but the role that is like fully realized, where she's this complex human being, which you understand, you know, she has her own autonomy, you know, like that's the role that you award somebody, not someone who, again, is this sex object for white men.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
You know, I'm thinking that in this moment, and I've been doing a lot of reading on threads and, you know, mm-hmm. on social media. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there is a discourse that's happening about this win and Tiana Taylor's, you know, positioning. And what we don't want to do, especially as the community, mm-hmm. that supports Black women and you know, want to make sure that we are in these films, is that we're taking this moment away from her. But at the same time, right, these films are being shown everywhere, and they are, this is media that's being disseminated globally. Mm-hmm. And we kind of have to start thinking about, okay, how are other groups of people learning about Black women when Black women are not in their day to day? Well, they're learning through the films and the TV shows that are put, you know, are out there. And so this kind of film, sharing or disseminating good information about Black women. And it's really reinforcing those colonial tropes that mm-hmm. we are trying to get away from. And, you know, I can't just blame, I'm not blaming her at all.
Right, she, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Capitalism at its finest. This is,
you know, yes.
white,
right.
you know, men, you know, fantasies that we're seeing played. Similarly, someone also brought up, I mean, this is dialogue that's continued to come up, you know, mm-hmm. Halle Berry's win in Monsters Ball.
Yes, right? In Monsters Ball, right, yes.
Yeah, and so we kind of have to ask, has anything changed in 22 years?
Right.
You know, like 23 years. Yeah.
Yeah, like this is still the thing. And I saw that actually like on Threads too. I feel like Threads has like become the new Twitter. And it, yeah, and where I'm seeing a lot of that same rhetoric where it was like, again, a lot of people were bringing up the tropes, but then a lot of people are also too, like with the Golden Globes win, were saying that like, this is this year's Monsters Ball. Right. And the thing is I also saw, as far as like the breakdown of like the reactions, of course, there's like, you know, there's exceptions to every rule. But what I saw was a lot of white men praising the film and a lot of black women trashing the film. And I was like, that tells me all I need to know. It is this great. It is this film that white men kind of like look like, yeah, like this is the kind of energy that we need in this year and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just going, you know, if y'all would just, I don't know, actually read a Black revolutionary's words, you would find that number one, not only is this film terrible, but also you would also see like, yeah, none of this is like, you know, emulating what it is like in real life, which again, we know we're not going to get. But then also you would also see the white supremacy that's at play, especially with the approach to her character. I'm like, she doesn't have any other, she's very one-dimensional. And there are revolutionaries that you can look to, like in our history at present, that were also parents, right? If you want to talk about the complexity, and I said this on social media, for those of you who don't follow Our Voices Project on Instagram or Theory of Beneficence, you should. But I was talking about, I was like, you can talk about the complexities of being a parent and a revolutionary, right? Revolutionary, like your entire life is the movement. Like that is, you know, everything, how you move, how you talk, right? Everything has to do with the movement. But then, of course, when you become a parent, right, that child, that's your focus. You're trying to bring up, you know, your kid, right, in a world that is filled with, you know, just like horrible things. And so you're trying to instill in them like things that are going to help them in this cruel world. And so you could talk about the complexities of being both a mother and a revolutionary without making her one dimensional, without making her, again, the sex object that only serves white men. Like, yeah. It's just gross. I'm like, did this? And the thing is like Paul Thomas Anderson is married to Maya Rudolph. So now it's like, so are you playing out your gross fantasies in this movie? Like, I can't. What are we doing?
And I think, yeah, it's, I feel like this film, my question is this for GTA. Yeah.
Yes.
Could we have not done this film with love, right? Can Leonardo DiCaprio's character not have loved Tiana Taylor's character and still get that same point across? Or, I mean, why is sex such, is being mobilized in this way? And then we have to think about, you know, I know people are talking about, you know, having this kind of diversity, inclusion, mm-hmm. and one of the, a really great scholar, Ruha Benjamin, said it best. She said, well, the plantation was very diverse, okay? Inclusion was very, very happening on the plantation, okay? We were both there.
That's a word.
It's the type of, you know, diversity, inclusion in our characters that we are mm-hmm. trying to fix. So that would be my question for him. You know, why couldn't Leonardo DiCaprio's character love? Why do they have to be such this sick and hypersexual situation between her and Sean Penn's character? Character. So yeah.
And also, Sean Penn got a nomination for Best Supporting Actor. Throw it out. Like, what are we doing? But like, again, I shouldn't be surprised. Given the way that the Oscars have always been, or these award ceremonies in general have always been, right? It hasn't been with anti-racism. It's been whatever serves the dollar, whatever gets butts in seats. And if they're going to make a trope out of a black woman, well, heck, they've been doing it since the golden age of Hollywood. So while I'm not surprised, it's still like, we're still doing this.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's going to be one to watch, you know, to see how many awards it gets, which awards it gets.
Yes.
Cause like, I'll say this. I mean, I loved Chase Infinity's performance. She was fantastic. Loved her. Yeah. Regina Hall, again, another Benicio del Toro, his character and Regina Hall's. I was like, I want their stories because Benicio del Toro's character, he has his own like way in which he moves, and he's got his own like trying to move people from like place to place and stuff. I'm like, Wait a minute. What's going on over there? Like, I want to know that story. Like, give me that story. So, yeah, but that when you said earlier, you know, about that film being the villain, 100%. 100%. I hope that it doesn't get any wins. Like, yeah, no wins. It's just sinners across the board. That's fine.
Yeah. And I was actually surprised to see that Chase Infinity wasn't nominated.
Yeah.
I really think that she is just this incredible actress. I watched her in Presumed Innocent. She is amazing.
Yeah.
So I was really surprised to see that she wasn't, you know, nominated for her role.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just incredible. There were some other things that I was excited about. So to get off of one battle after another, because
we could be here all day.
All day. You hear what I'm saying? So the other things that I was actually like super excited about. So The Voice of Hind Rajab, that for Best International Feature Film, I was actually excited to see that nominated. It premiered here. So here in Rochester, New York, it premiered at our Witness Palestine Film Festival. That and like two other films that I was hoping to see on here. But of course, I haven't. Palestine 36, which I kind of knew. I'm like, yeah, that's, as far as like the subject matter, that's not going to get on the Oscars. There's no way. It was like that. I knew that was a long shot. Incredible film. If you have the opportunity to see it, there was also All That's Left of You. I was hoping. And of course we can talk about snubs later. Yeah, I was excited to see that there. Also, as far as performances, which of course I'm rooting. Well, I don't know. I have actually yet to see Hamnet. I'll most likely be like watching that in the coming weeks and stuff. Because I also wanted to see it and I just hadn't gotten around to it. But the performance I really actually loved too, that's in the Best Actress category, is Emma Stone with Begonia.
Okay.
I love weird movies. And one, because I believe it's the same director who also did, oh gosh, now of course I'm blanking.
Is it the other one with her?
Yes, it's the other one with her and it's Ruffalo. With... Oh my gosh, that one. And then, well, the other one though, before that, it was The Favorite. It was the movie called The Favorite. And yeah, so that one is with, oh my gosh, there's quite the cast in that one, but it's wild. It's a wild time. I just remember sitting in the theater going, this movie, what is happening? Like, yeah, then that's what I was doing with Begonia. Cause I knew what I was going into. Considering it was this director, what's his name? It starts with a Y. It's like Yoris, I think. I can't remember the last name.
Exactly,
of course. Yeah.
Yes.
But I was like, okay, you know what? I saw The Favorite. I know what I'm coming in for. I know what I'm in for. And that's exactly what I got. Because this film is so, it is so weird. And like the synopsis is, it's basically they kidnap, there's these two men and they kidnap this woman who is a CEO of this like big company that you know, it's implied that the company has been doing a lot of just like environmental harm and all sorts of other harm right to their community. So they kidnap this woman, but the reason why they kidnap this woman is because they this is all in the trailer, by the way, they suspect that she's an alien. Yes.
Okay.
That's the plot. That's the plot synopsis. So I'm like, all right, you know what? So we're going to watch this because it's so, like I said, I like weird movies. And
yeah.
Her performance, though, she's so good. She's so good in it. Like, it's already an out there, like, film. And that's what I appreciate because it's also like, these are... And I guess it's an adapted screenplay. I think it's from a book.
Wow.
But yeah, but it's because it's also up for Best Adapted Screenplay. But like, again, when we're talking about like original movies, these are the kinds of, again, these are the kinds of things that there's, of course, like there's a movie for every audience. Right. And I think it's one of those that is also very unique as far as storyline, as far as like, you know, the way in which the movie is structured, that the characters, it's like I said, it may not be for everyone and that's completely fine. But I thought Emma definitely shows the range that she has in that film. So I'm sitting over here like Jesse Buckley is probably going to win it for Hamnet. But I'm also just like, I would not be mad if Emma Stone actually takes that one.
No, Emma Stone is an incredible actress. Yes. I don't know if you've seen Poor Things.
I have it. It's on my list. I need to watch.
I think that's the same director, like Yorgos.
Yes. Yeah. Yorgos,
it starts with something else, but that film is. That film is so amazing. And I think, honestly, when I saw Begonia and I saw her there, I was like, yeah, she's probably going to win that because she's such an incredible actress. I'm going to watch it, though. I am going to watch Begonia.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah. I think it's on right now. I believe it's on Peacock, and that's where I watched it. I'm sure it's on other platforms, but that was the one that I had seen that it was on. And so I was like, oh, I got to add this to my list. And then I saw it the other night. And I'm like, I looking at the credits and I'm just like, this movie, what in the world? Some other like things that I was like excited to see, of course, because I've got like stars next to like Sinners because I was like, oh, I hope it gets everyone and stuff.
Oh, right.
Going back to Sinners, because of course, like I'm excited to see Delroy Lindo again, his first nomination, but Delta Slim, I mean, how do you not award that man? Like,
incredible.
The scene in the car and he's reliving and retelling that story of him and his friend, right, who was kidnapped by the KKK and like the, and then like, you know, the his reaction just afterwards is incredible. This is why, like, again, like I stress so much, like as much as we don't talk about the technical stuff. So like his performance, I think it was improv'd. Masterful performance by Delroy Lindo, which is why he deserves the nomination and the win. All right.
And the win.
But also because Sinners is also up for best sound. What happens in this film throughout is like when someone's telling a story, someone's reliving something, you can hear like that scene, right? It goes back to that scene. So you can hear, right? That for that alone, and so many other things like throughout this film, I think that's why it also deserves best sound. Because it does so much to the story. Like when you're hearing someone tell a story, right, you know, there's only so much that you can imagine and when they're telling that story, but to actually hear what's going on as he's telling the story, like, it's wild to me. So yeah, for the sound engineers, kudos to you. Like, kudos to you, kudos to Delroy Lindo, kudos to everybody in this film. Were there any other things that you saw on, you know, or like on the list of nominees that you were really excited to see?
You know, nothing else jumps out at me. Like, I definitely need to watch a lot of these films. And I love that, you know, that's part of why I love, you know, these Oscar nominations, because I think they compile what we, what society may think, the voters may think, are the best films of 2025. And I feel like when you're in this environment constantly, you're watching so much content. This is a really great way to kind of like go through and kind of catch up on what you may have missed. I will say F1.
So random. I'm like, you could have put Hedda there. You could have been please. Okay. Like, we're going to go into snubs now because what the heck? So how does Hedda not get a nomination, but F1 for best picture?
I was so shocked about that. I was like, really? It was a shock, everyone. No, F1 was just insane. I was like, okay. So F1 was just such a, you know, and I think that I don't even know how it kind of just like kind of snuck in there, because I mean, there was a lot of reviews saying that people didn't love it, but then people also like really loved it.
Okay.
And yeah, for best picture, this is just kind of surprising.
Like, why are you, girl, why are you here? Why are you here? F1. I think the consensus has been, I'm very confused. Confused. Yeah. And like, okay, so going back to Hedda, and the incredible mind, the incredible director that is Nia DaCosta.
I know.
So I've seen Hedda, the play, okay, which is of course what the movie is based on.
Yes.
And like, you have to have, I mean, you have to have a powerhouse in this role, because this woman, feel like, especially from like watching the play, this woman is someone that you're like she's a terrible person. But there's also a kind of, again, the approach that one has to this role, you also have to kind of love them. It's like this kind of like love hate thing with this character, because she's doing, like, she's manipulating people. Like, she's manipulating people all around her. She has this way of like holding on to power, like, you know, and taking people's power. And you're like, and of course, that's usually frowned upon. However, comma, I am for women's rights as well as women's wrongs. And but the character, at least for me, I can only say for me, the character for me, I think is very, I'm left wondering like what happened to her, like in her childhood and her upbringing, where she was this person who felt the need to hold on to whatever power that she could get, especially if it's from other people, right? Power from other people. And the way that Tessa Thompson plays this role, I'm just like, surely we'll see a nomination, right? Right? Yeah. Right? And not a thing. Not a thing. Nothing for Best Actress. Nia DaCosta doesn't have Best Director. Like, as happy as I am to see Chloe Zhao, because that's another incredible director. You know, I really enjoyed Nomadland. Say what you want about the Eternals. I actually liked that film, so whatever.
I think Eternals is great.
Yes! People had like issues with, and I'm like, listen, just because you tried to make us care about those two main love interests, and we're like, no, we don't care about them, right? Like, we don't care about them. But like, I enjoyed that film. Anyway.
That film was amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. See, Arnita, I knew you would.
No, understand. Of course.
And right. But like, Chloe Zhao is also this incredible director. And I'm happy to see her like in that category as far as like Best Director nominees. But I'm just going, so where's Nia DaCosta's recognition? Where are her flowers? Like, let's talk about it. I think the way in which she definitely puts her own spin on the character, Tessa Thompson, but then also too with, I mean, you can clearly see Nia DaCosta's direction and like in everything, just the way in which the camera moves, you know, the way that the film is done, it's so well made. And just like, again, not surprised, but always disappointed.
Always.
Yes, always. As far as other snubs, Wicked for Good.
I know. Everyone is talking about Wicked for Good. And I'm like, hold on, everyone. People are saying in the streets that they didn't really like Wicked for Good. They're saying it wasn't as good as the first one. And so I'm wondering what happened there. And then that goes into Cynthia snub, which is,
yes,
has been nominated for Best Actress twice and has not won. And so, you know, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Yeah, that was weird. That was weird for me to see that.
It was weird. It was indeed weird. She is, just again, her performance, her singing, like that goes without saying. Okay. Like, first and foremost, that goes without saying. Her performance though in that role, I think I did also hear a lot of people say that they didn't really like this one as much as the first one. I actually, for me, I think it was kind of like, it was about equal for me. Thanks. And yeah, I don't know. I can kind of see where people were coming from, but at the same time, I'm like makeup, like I'm like looking
nothing.
At the, yeah, like nothing. Like, cause I'm thinking makeup and hair. I'm thinking, you know, if we have like best costume, like even for those, like you think like for films, especially like those, you know, these huge like musical productions, right?
Yeah.
You're not only thinking about performance, but you're also thinking about like, again, what's going on in hair, with hair and makeup, with costuming, like all these kind of like technical awards as well. And
music, yeah,
just nowhere to be found. So I'm going, what's going on? Yeah. And then, yeah, and the other snub I talked about was All That's Left of You. This one for me for us, like, premiered at our Witness Palatine Film Festival. And it's one of the ones that I have yet to see. But just with all the buzz that's been happening with that film, I thought it might, you know, get a nomination, at least for Best International Feature Film. So,
yeah.
Yeah. What were the snubs for you? What did you notice?
Oh, gosh. I mean, again, Chase Infinity immediately. And I also want to touch on, I can't remember the name of the film, Naomi Aki. She is in this film with A24. Cannot remember.
Mickey 17. Mickey 17.
I love Mickey 17. But okay. It's another film with A24. Why can't I not remember it?
All right. We're going to look this up.
Yeah, I need to look it up really quick because it's on my list to watch. I've seen the Sorry Baby is what it's called. Sorry Baby. I've seen
Okay, Sorry Baby. Okay.
And this film, the premise, the plot, I've read it already. I want to see it. I love Naomi. I think she's like up and coming, or
she's great.
Already up and coming. She's there.
Right.
And I was hoping that this film would have gotten at least just one nomination if it wasn't for Best Picture, but Best Actress or even the director of that film. But such a great film. I've heard such great things. I cannot wait to watch it. I just have to sit down and actually do it. But I was hoping to see.
Oh, man.
What about you? What do you think? What are some snubs besides what you've said?
I believe, at least for me, because I've only seen so many films. Yeah. And so, like, those are the ones that kind of hit me almost immediately. Because, again, like, there was all this buzz, and they're incredible films. Again, I'm really just like, why not Hedda? Like, that's the other thing. I was like, Hedda could have been in place of F1 on that list, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
But not even, like, again, like, adapted screenplay, nothing.
No.
Not for Best Actress.
How are you feeling about Timothée Chalamet in this Mickey Supreme?
Okay, so I have not, to be fair, I have not seen Marty Supreme. Marty Supreme, yeah, from what I've been gathering, I think people... I feel like I'm getting mixed reviews with that one, but it's also just like, I'm over Timothée Chalamet. Like, I'm over it. Like, he's everywhere. This is not necessarily to any fault of his own, right? Like, I can't really blame him for that. But, like, first of all, the marketing behind the film, and also just because I feel like he's everywhere and he's in everything. And I'm just like, give some other actors a chance. And so, like, this film also, for me, like, kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah. And, like, the marketing behind it kind of felt like it had nothing to do with the actual film. Mm-hmm. It was just weird. And y'all are playing this up, right? Y'all playing Marty Supreme up, but then also kind of, like, downplaying sinners. And I'm talking about you, Variety. I'm talking about you, Variety. Because Variety, like, had all the things to say about, like, sinners and whether or not it would, like, meet box office. And yet, Marty Supreme still has yet to meet. I believe, y'all can fact check me in the comments, but I don't think Marty Supreme was a box office hit. Mm. At least with what it was supposed to make back. I don't think it's met that yet, as far as I can tell. And so... I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on the actual film because I haven't seen it yet. It's kind of one of those, it's like, okay, it was nominated. Let me go and find out, like, what the hype is all about. But, like, I wasn't really, like, excited. I think also, too, with Timothée Chalamet, again, I think there are films that he absolutely should have been nominated for. Again, haven't seen Marty Supreme yet, but his role in The King, I think it's on Netflix. His role in The King, I think, is fantastic. He does, like, I was absolutely surprised because I said, I gave my whole, like, I'm annoyed about Timothée Chalamet and the fact that he's everywhere to a friend. And she's like, you need to sit down. You need to watch The King. So we watched The King together. I was like, okay, you know what? Touche. This, he can actually act. It's just sick of him because he was at, He was, you know, he was in Lady Bird. He was in Little Women.
Yes.
With Saoirse Ronan. And again, you know, everyone is like obsessing over it. I'm like, what is the big deal? Like that role. And I know like Dune, the next Dune is coming out this year. So we'll see about that. I have yet to see the second one. Cause again, I was just like, I'm tired of Timothy Chalamet.
I think that he is my issue. I think he's a really good actor. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. when I see him on the screen, I just see Timothy Chalamet. Like, I think his celebrity persona
is
over.
Yeah.
So I can't really get into the story when he's on screen, unfortunately. Yeah. I'm thinking, what is Timothy Chalamet doing in this desert? What is he doing there?
How did he get here? To get there is right.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll have to get into more of that. Like, I'll have to have you back on the podcast because clearly there's some more things we need to talk about. But so as far as now, I have, when it comes to the Oscars, I have my traditions, and you can also let me know like whether or not this is also you, but things like, so of course, like everything is around the Oscars. So like the night of, don't talk to me. Like, unless you're also there to see the Oscars with me, like that's my entire day. Like, this is my show's on. Do not bother me. I got it. Because what I normally do, and I've done this throughout the years, and folks that know me can attest to this, but usually when I'm watching the Oscars, I'll do like, they're not live tweets anymore. It's like, I guess, live posts, or I'll post my reactions to the Oscars. And people throughout the years have been like, Jackie, I really actually appreciate those, because I feel like I'm usually busy or I'm doing something else I'm not able to actually watch. But then seeing your posts, like, and the constant updates is helpful. So I'm like, okay, great, I'll keep doing it. But leading up, I try to at least see all of the Best Picture nominees. Mm-hmm. Because again, my whole idea is like, listen, if I really want to complain, I just need to see all of them. You know, to make the case for the one that I really want, want to win. And then the other thing that I try to do too is like, I think I was successful 1 year, but also seeing the Oscar nominated shorts. I try to see those. I am a filmmaker who has mostly made documentary shorts. So it's like, and I've always appreciated shorts too. To be able to tell an entire story in like a very, like, again, a short amount of time, I think is also says a lot about a director or screenwriter, you know, and their skills. So I really honestly recommend, if you are listening or watching, you should definitely find a theater near you that will show the Oscar shorts. I know for us in Rochester, we have the Little Theater, which will be showing, we'll start showing the Oscar nominated shorts. I believe that is February 20th. So that's when those start. And so I will always, like, at least every year, I always try, right, to at least have watched either, you know, the live action, the documentary, or the animation, or all three. And they're usually all like shown together. So like, of course, if you want to spend, you know, like some time just watching the animated ones, you can do that. You can do that with a documentary. You can do that with the live action ones. So I always try to see those. So yeah, Best Picture and the shorts normally. Like, there's quite a few that I wouldn't have watched. And so I'm just like, you know what? There's no way that I'm going to be able to watch all of these movies. So I try to stick to at least those categories. And then maybe, because again, I'm like, I love documentaries. I also try to watch the documentaries. But again, one can only do so much. One only has so much money. Especially if like some of these are still in theaters and they're not on streaming platforms anywhere. So that's usually as far as like how I usually approach the Oscars. And then also too, I have like a ballot, and I'm going through like, okay, the ones that I want to win and the ones that I think are going to win. And I'm like I said, like, this is my entire like thing. I will also like go through, as far as like trying to predict who's going to win, like I try to look at like past, like, or like the other award shows leading up and who won this and who won that. And so, yeah. So I don't know. Do you have any sort of like like Oscar traditions, you know, like that? Do you also watch just the ceremony, or do you watch the red carpet leading up to that? Like, what is your routine, I would say, like around the Oscars?
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, I will say this, I am most interested in the Emmys because I love television. And that is my enchilada that I just have to have.
Nice.
Like, the same way you're describing the Oscar night is my Emmys.
Nice.
When it comes to the Oscars, though, I love film. Mm-hmm. But I will say I don't really watch a lot of film throughout the year. I'll watch it when I have time, when I'm not watching another new show, whatever.
Yeah.
But when I am watching the Oscars, definitely the red carpet. I need to see all the outfits. I need to see it all. And I think when it comes to predictions, funny enough, my dad used to tell me like this little trick when I was a kid. He was like, you know, we're watching musical award shows or whatever. He says, if someone performs in the beginning and they're nominated that night, they're going to win that one.
So
to tell me. But when it comes to the Oscars, though, I would say like this visibility before, you know, the Golden Globe circuit, we kind of know where we're kind of leaning. But I've been years where everything kind of flips on its head.
Yeah.
At the Oscars. But as far as like traditions, definitely the red carpet, as I said. And then I have to see Best Picture. I have to see Best Actress. I have to see Best Actor. Those big, big ones. I have to see Best Music.
Yeah.
By Ludwig.
Yes, let's go. Let's go. Yes.
Yeah. So those main categories I definitely need to watch. And then I love, like you said, post live tweeting, but like it's like post, you know, just posting, you know, on the story and just saying, oh my gosh, or what the heck was that? So
I feel like there's gonna be a lot of what the heck was that?
Yeah.
Usually is. There are usually some moments or moments, like a moment or a moment or moments that I'm just like, okay, wrap it up. Like, this is already 5 hours. Can we?
Can
we not do this? So I was like, I've got to work. I've got to get up in the morning. Like, y'all, come on, wrap it up. So, and also too, what are the speeches going to be? What are the speeches given everything that's going on right now? I'm like, oh my god, those speeches though. I'm like, if anything. Whew. Okay. Yeah.
And in words of Issa Rae too, I have to say.
Issa Rae, I'm rooting for everybody black. Yes. Everybody. We're rooting for everybody black. Yes. No, yeah. I will, like, as far as like the red carpet goes, like I think I usually have it on in like the background or something. If it's like if I hear or see someone like familiar and I'm like, ooh, what are they gonna wear? Like, I gotta know, Zendaya, what are you wearing to red carpet? She's always
La Roche already posted today.
Oh my god. Yes.
Like, we're coming.
We're ready. He does not play about her. Looking forward to that. So let's see. As far as, so we've covered, of course, we've covered the things we're excited about. We've covered, you know, the snubs. We've covered so much, like, in between and everything. What I also want to know is, what are your, we talked about the things that we love. Which ones do we think, as far as, like, predictions go,
right,
which ones do we think are actually going to take the win?
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Starting with Best Picture. Okay. I know what we want to win. What do we think?
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Honestly. Okay. I'm thinking we might see something that might keep everyone a little bit satiated in that.
Okay.
Not one is going to be picked. I think we're going to probably have like Begonia. And when I say not one, I'm talking about like not one battle after another and not Sinners.
Right.
We might have somebody in the middle win that one.
Wow. Okay.
I'm thinking it might be like Begonia or maybe Hamnet. I mean, Hamnet, there were some snubs there too, as far as Paul Mescal not being nominated. But
That's right.
I think that we might see something just a little bit. No one got it from those villainous.
Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm scared about that one. Honestly, I could rock with, like, you know, it's like, it'd be, you know what? If it's not Sinners, then, but if it's also not one battle after another, I'm like, okay, it's fine. You know what? Whatever. I don't see. I feel like they would go with something like, I think they probably would go with something like Hamnet or something. Yeah. Oh, but I'm really like, listen, just let Sinners have it. And by let Sinners have it, give it to him because it was the best film of the year. I'm going to keep saying that. I have not seen every film, but
yes,
I'm pretty sure it was the best one. Anyway, best director. Who do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think that Paul Thomas Anderson is going to get this one. I have a really strong inclination that they're going to give it to PTA. I don't think that Ryan Coogler is going to get this one. I hope he does, obviously.
No, but yes, I know. I'm like, this is me preparing.
Yeah, I do think that this is me preparing. They're going to give it to Paul Thomas Anderson.
You hate to see it. But hopefully we're wrong. Hopefully we're wrong about all of this. Right, exactly. Yes. I've never wanted to be wrong in my life. And that is for sure one thing that I really want to be wrong about. But yes, I would have to agree with you. It's probably going to go to him. We hope not, but it probably will, just given the type of time that the Academy is usually on. So I'm just like going for like the big categories here.
Sure.
Best adapted screenplay.
I see Hamnet.
Hamnet?
I see Hamnet. Yeah, I really like Hamnet. I know you said Begonia is up there too. I think honestly, Begonia is that, you know, that third child that might take everything.
Yeah, right. We're like, wait a minute. What is happening? I don't know. I have a feeling that Begonia might be too weird. Like for the Academy, like they put it up there just to be like, we're different, but also we're not also just good. We're going to just put it up there as a nominee. We're not actually going to give it an award, but are you crazy? Like that's what I think is happening. Yes, I think either Hamnet or unfortunately One Battle After Another.
Yep.
Again, because I'm like, if they're going to award Paul Thomas Anderson for director, they might also award for best adapted screenplay. That's just my thinking. Best original screenplay, I think, might go to Sinners.
I think that's definitely Sinners. I would agree.
Yeah.
Definitely Sinners.
Yeah, yeah. Best actor.
Oh, yeah. This one, I mean, honestly, this one, I'm scared.
I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out over this one. Yikes.
I don't know if we should take to the streets afterwards.
We ride at dawn. If Michael B. Jordan does not get this for playing not one, not two, but three characters. Okay? Bruh. If we write it, Dawn, if this man doesn't get it.
Yeah. I don't see Leonardo coming up on the stage.
No.
Personally, I don't think so.
No.
But I think it would definitely between, and just like Golden,
The Golden Globes.
It's going to be between Chalamet and Jordan.
Sure. Yeah, I'm so annoyed already. But it was like, we're not even there yet. But
But I'm also hoping that they gave Chalamet the Golden Globe. So
You know what? We're here. Yeah, you know what? Yes, absolutely. Yes. Let's touch and agree. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that, honestly, Yeah, Timothy, we gave you an award. Now we're going to give this award to the proper to the proper awardee. Yeah. Michael B. Jordan. Yes. Okay. Best supporting actor.
Love Benicio del Toro. I love Sean Penn. I love Sean Penn. I think that role was absolutely awful, but I think that he did the role very well. I want to see Delroy Lindo. I think Delroy Lindo, it's been coming. Like, I think it's overdue.
Yes.
But if it's not Delroy Lindo, I would love it to go to Benicio. Yeah.
Benicio, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Frankenstein?
I haven't. That's also on my list. Yeah. I know. Which I really don't. With this one, it can go in so many directions. I'm really hoping they give it. And I'm thinking it's so tough because you really don't know. Like, you know, these of course are just predictions, but again, the way sometimes the Academy moves is like in very unexpected ways. And so I am like, I would really love Delroy Lindo to win. Benicio might, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if I have a prediction for that one. Because I also don't. Well, no, I really don't. Yeah, I really don't know with that one, actually. Yeah. I'm thinking it might go to Benicio, but Delroy, I I feel like I'm gonna go for Delroy for that one, just to, yeah, because, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If Delroy Lindo wins Best Supporting because they go first, do you think they're gonna give it to Michael B. Jordan for Best Actor as well? Because usually they don't do that.
My thinking for giving it to Delroy is also because this is his first time being nominated after having like a long, extensive career. And so they're going to give it to this as like seniority, like, or, well, I don't know. And because Sean Penn is there, but also I'm like, if they've been wanting to give it to him, like, you know, for so many years, could be a case for either Delroy Lindo or Sean Penn.
Or Benicio.
Or Bernicio, yeah. Yeah, you know what? So it really is a top, right? Because it's, in that case, it is a top toss-up because they love to do that, right? It's like, well, he should have won for these awards, so we're going to just give him this, right? So that he can, you know, we can finally have given him an award.
Hashtag DiCaprio.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But yeah, as far as like whether or not they're going to give Best Actor. Ooh, yeah, that's a good... What they might do is give Delroy Lindo Supporting and give Timothy Chalamet Best Actor.
That's what I think, too.
I'm annoyed. Best Actress. What is our prediction?
I'm going to definitely say Buckley. Jessie, she is insane in Hamnet. You have to see it. The acting is... Yeah. I have no words. I actually was so impressed by her performance. Yeah, I definitely think she's going to win that one.
She's fantastic. I loved, like, you can't stand her character in Woman Talking, but I loved her performance in Woman Talking. Yeah, so that was up for, it was like a couple years ago. That was, I believe that was up for Best Picture. It was up, that movie was up for a bunch of awards, I think, but her performance in that was amazing too. She's just an incredible actress, so I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if she takes it. Would love Emma Stone to take it, but if she, the other one that I've been hearing a lot about is, gosh, Sentimental Value.
Okay.
I've been hearing some buzz about that film, so I definitely think Jessie's taking it, but I don't know. Again, the Oscars, the Academy, they could kind of do like an upset, like a different thing. Like, it's like, oh, we're giving it to somebody that you didn't expect.
Listen, the sleeper hit that's coming in right now is the Kate Hudson Song Song Blue. Like, people were shocked that they were included. And I was like, yeah, me too. I've seen the trailer. Yeah. I personally wasn't inclined to watch it, but
yeah, you know, neither was I. Might.
But honestly, in that category, I think Emma Stone is becoming our generation's Meryl Streep in that.
Oh my God. So many. Yes. Yes.
She's an incredible actress, but she's also in so many films that get nominated. I think she might actually take it if it isn't. I mean,
yeah.
I want it to be Jessie.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling they're going to give it to Emma.
Okay. Yeah. I won't be mad with either. I have to see, I've yet to see Hamnet. I've been hearing nothing but good things, and I've been wanting to see it. So there's that. Okay, Best Supporting Actress. I mean, listen, I know who we want to win. All right, we're here. We're rooting for everybody black. Moon Mi, listen, I want her so bad to win. Okay, but do we think Tiana's taking it?
We do. We do think Tiana's taking it, and it's just a matter of like optics, right? She's the moment right now, and I don't think they're going to build us all up, build her all the way up, and have her come crashing out the Oscars. I think she's 100% taking that award. I wish it was Moon Mi.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope we're both wrong, and that Moon Mi takes it, because I will be. So, by the way, for those who are listening and are watching, and you're in the Rochester area, the Little Theater is doing its annual Oscar party. So it's our local independent and foreign film theater, our art house theater, every year for a while now. They've been doing, a live stream of the Oscars. So you see it on a big screen, and then, you know, people can get popcorn, and they do games like on the during the breaks, the commercial breaks and stuff like that. And it's just a fun time. They also do trivia. You can win prizes. It's really a fun time. And then just like to be, to be in the room with a bunch of other people who are just as obsessed with movies as you are, or maybe not, maybe they're just like friend or relative brought them along. It's always like a good time. And so if Woomy wins, I will scream. And okay, like, it's going to be, I'm just going to be obnoxious. Like the entire, not, you know, but I'm also just like, yeah, no, again, prepare to be sick of me. If she wins, you're not going to hear the end of it, because she just did an incredible, she's an incredible actress. She played this amazing role in Annie, and yeah, I just really want to see her take it. Of course, just given the type of time the Academy's on, probably going to Tiana. Again, no fault to Tiana. I'm just like, more people need to have watched 1001, which is right now on Peacock. Go watch it. But yeah, anyway, sorry, what were you about to say?
I was going to say it could be that same situation where, you know, in a really crazy world, that they gave her the Golden Globe and they're going to give Woomy the Best Actress Award. So we'll see. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it's going to be Tiana Taylor, though.
Yeah. And let's see. And I know I could keep going like for hours. But of course, I don't want to keep you that long. Couple more things. Best original score. Do we think Sinners for that one?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. I don't see anyone else taking it. I'm like, Ludwig, come on. Yeah. I haven't really seen any other buzz as far as like who else might take original score. But I think Ludwig winning it for Sinners is definitely a go. Best original song.
Sinners.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sinners. Yeah. I will say, like, for best cinematography, though.
Yeah.
That's a hard one. I really did like that sequence. I think One Battle After Another did some pretty great sequences, and the cinematography is gorgeous in that film. I would love for them to take that.
Yeah. I would love them. Listen, Autumn Durald Arkapaw did her big one. Okay. She's worked on a couple of different projects with, or at least I know she definitely did Wakanda Forever with Ryan Coogler.
Yes, yes.
And so she's an incredible eye. And I would love to see her take that one. I'm also like, the only other one that you know, if they want to do kind of like an upset thing, or, and like, if it hasn't won any of awards, they might just give it to Frankenstein. Again, I have yet to see Frankenstein, but just like from the stills that I've seen, I'm like, okay, this might be. My prediction is definitely for Sinners, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Like I said, I could keep going forever. We'll have to have you back on for the podcast, but a few closing thoughts before we wrap up. We usually ask our guests this, all of our guests this, towards the end of the show, because the podcast is called Representation in Cinema. What is the type of representation that you would like to see at award shows in the future and with movies in general?
Yeah, I want to see us, Black women specifically, mm-hmm. because that's what their beneficence is about. That's what my cause is about making sure Black women are in those lead roles. They are taken care of in the story. And so good representation mm-hmm. would mean Black women in leading roles in really great characters. And so that's what I hope to see in the future. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Please listen. I need us in all of the things, right? Not just drama, not just comedy, and not like the butt of the joke in the comedy, or also just going through hardship, right? And trauma, right? In dramas, and, you know, historical dramas. I also need us in science fiction movies. I need us in fantasy movies. I need us in action adventure, right? Not necessarily playing like this sex symbol, like someone, a complex human being, right? I will get my Black woman-led steampunk film, right? We need some alternative baddies, like, in a film that's led by Black women. More stories like what we saw with The Woman King. Like, this is an all Black woman cast, and it's centered on them, right? Like, yes, there are men that are also like helping them in these fights, but like, it's the women who are leading the charge. And I just want to see us, yeah, definitely doing more of those roles and films. Yeah. So I would have to agree. So, Arnita, where can folks find you, and how can they support you?
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely follow the theory of beneficence. I have been MIA, okay? Just a smidge. I was on a posting schedule, so I need to be very clear about that. I am in the depths of grad school, but I do plan when I start writing my dissertation to come back with, you know, more content on a consistent right. basis. But mm-hmm. definitely follow me there. I will also be at the African American Film Festival this year in Miami. So if you are there, let's say hello. I'm so thankful to be on your podcast today, Jackie. So thankful.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Arnita, for joining the podcast and agreeing to talk with me about the Oscars today. It's been real fun. And again, like I keep saying, we'll have to have you back on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Listeners will have more information about Arnita and where you can follow and support her in the show notes or in the description below if you're watching on YouTube. Wherever you're listening from, hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, share this episode, and leave a comment to let us know what you thought of today's episode. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. Visit ourvoicesproject.com and sign up for our newsletter for more information about what we do. We'll be back with more episodes every Thursday with old and newly released movies that center Black, Brown, and Indigenous folks, general movie news, and interviews with film festival programmers and curators, film critics, and of course, other filmmakers. Next week in February, we start our limited series on Black filmmakers, their stories, and contributions to cinema. We're handing flowers to filmmakers that we should be talking about. Some you may have heard of and some you may not have heard of. Either way, you won't know until the show premieres, so make sure you subscribe. This has been Jackie McGriff, your host for this episode of Representation in Cinema. As always, thank you for listening.